take your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. A very familiar verse, one that we have all learned. If you've been saved any amount of time, you would have memorized this verse. I think we can quote it. The Bible simply says this, "In everything give thanks." That verse has often caused me to pause. And if you've been a Christian very long, I think this verse would cause you to stop and think. Let's read it together. In everything, give thanks. Whoa. Hold on a sec. I got five people reading with me. There's a couple hundred of you here. Let's all do this together, all right? The words are on the screen behind me if you need it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's do it together. Here we go. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You mean when my dad died at 62, I'm supposed to give thanks? You mean Josh and Liz are supposed to give thanks that their beautiful little daughter, Adeline, has a heart defect? You mean that Ruth Olson is supposed to give thanks that she hurts and is in pain all the time and can barely walk? You mean Frank Yeager's supposed to give thanks because he served a war and he was exposed to things in Vietnam, that chemicals that have caused him physical health problems for years? He's supposed to give thanks. We're supposed to give thanks when there's been death or financial loss. We're supposed to give thanks when there's problems or difficulties. Again, I'd like to remind you that in the culture and context, we have to understand that the Apostle Paul was writing to a church trying to help a church understand that there's going to be trials and things that come into our life, and you don't just extract one verse out of this whole passage. You have to take all the verses around it to fully understand what is taking place here. I've heard preachers say that that absolutely, Brent, your dad died at 62. You should be giving thanks to the Lord, almost like be excited about it. That is not the context of this verse. There are going to be times when there are difficulties in life that we have to do what the Bible says. Cast your care where? Upon Him, for He careth for you. So in other words, there's times that things aren't going well, and I'm then commanded to give that care to the Lord. This verse is not specifically speaking that of all the trials and all the things that happen that we're supposed to jump up and down and do jumping jacks and say, "Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful things that are happening in my life." That is not in the context. In the context, you have to understand that as we looked at a couple weeks ago, there is that period of rejoicing and there is that season of prayer, and that if we do not have a spirit of gratitude, that we will quench and stop the Holy Spirit. All those verses have to be taken in context together. There are times that I still do not understand why my dad died so early. I mean, some of you are 65. Some of you are 70. Some of you are 75, and you appear to be in great health, and your life is still before you, and you're still going strong. And my dad dies at 62, and there's times I just say, I don't understand. And it's hard just to say, "Lord, hey, thank you that my dad died." It's not a flippant thanks. It's an understanding that in God's providence, in God's allowing things to happen, and understanding my dad was a dynamic Christian, that for reasons that I do not understand, here's what I give thanks for, that God's in control. Amen. I don't thank the Lord every day that my dad died. But I thank the Lord that He's in control and He has it all figured out, and I can with a calm assurance trust that God has my best interest, even when I don't understand. Why does someone have a birth defect? Really, if you think about it, God can be greatly glorified through that. But if you're the parent going through that, it's not easy. Let me talk about Amy for just a moment. Amy Wells, Colton, serves in the Air Force. Amy was came back. She went to Texas to be with her mom and dad while Colton was deployed. Amy went on a mission trip. A mission trip. Now, when we go on a mission trip, we're serving the Lord, right? We're sacrificing time away from family. There's a sacrifice of finances. There's a sacrifice to leave and to go serve on a mission trip. Amy goes and serves on a mission trip, and in that mission trip, she is diagnosed with the disease that carries with her even to this day, and there's many times that she has difficulty even getting out of bed. Wait a second, I'm supposed to give thanks? God, I'm serving you on a mission trip, and this is what I get? I'm supposed to give thanks for that? I was talking to Pastor Arias just a little while ago. He said, Pastor, he said, pray for me. I'm still having stomach problems. Let me tell you what happened in Chile. One week ago, there were a couple hundred people that got together for a meal. And at nighttime, it was so cold. We had to have a fire just to stay warm. We were staying in uninsulated cabins, and so it was very chilly at nighttime, and so we had to have a fire. But during the day, it would warm up, but they have a gymnasium, and they don't have electric lights. They just have those see-through panels, if I could say it that. Skylights? Well, it wasn't really skylights. It was just like white, instead of corrugated metal, it was just like white, whatever it's called. You could tell how much I'm into building. So it just got hot in the gym, and you put 200 people in there. It's just a rough concrete floor, skylights that weren't really skylights, and it was just coming down. Sun was, well, anyway, here's what happened. We had church, and the preacher was a little long-winded. He preached an hour and 15 minutes Sunday morning, and so lunch was getting started late, and they made potato salad. They took a 5-gallon container, and they made potato salad in it. They had fixed the potatoes the day before, and how do I know that? I peeled those potatoes, and so we had all kinds of potatoes, and they cut up the potatoes, and they put in the mayonnaise, and they put in a couple of other things. They mixed it all together in this 5-gallon tub. It never hit the refrigerator. They put it out. Right after lunch, they put it out on these red trays, and there's some pictures on Facebook, you can see that, and they took these red trays, and they scattered all these red trays throughout the gym. But the guys were running behind who were cooking the meat. 2 hours later, it was time to eat. And so all of that potatoes and mayonnaise and everything that had been fixed that had never hit the refrigerator had been sitting in the gym now 2.5 hours in the heat that was going on. Now, a week ago or a couple weeks ago, we talked about the necessity of having a clean food program here. God is good in giving me a sermon illustration to illustrate why it is necessary that we have some guidelines. Because there were 200 plus people who ate potato salad. And so we went through the day, we went through service at night, and so they had disco, that's what the meal was called, in all the way they fixed the food. They had that, and they had this potato salad, and in the middle of the night, my roommate, Joe, got sick. Oh, he was sick. I was like, I'm getting underneath the covers. I mean, like, oh, I can't stand it. I can't listen to this. And so they were going to go visit the volcano on Monday, so just 1 week ago. Well, our group, we had 16 in our group. 11 of our 16 had vomiting and diarrhea, and they were just so sick from food poisoning. And dozens of other people sick. Pastor Arias, so they're driving the van up toward the volcano, and it's completely encapsulated in snow. It's a really a beautiful sight. And so they would stop the van. He would throw up on this side of the van, and some people would throw up on this side of the van. They'd drive a little bit. He would get out, throw up. There'd be other people throwing up. What a beautiful trip they must have had up the mountain. I decided to stay back that day. And I wanted to study, and I wasn't really interested in going up to the volcano, and I needed to get everything ready for this coming Sunday, and so I decided to stay back. I had a glorious day. I sat by the river, had my devotions and prayer time. I had a big roaring fire in the stove there. I had an absolute great day. But there were 11 people that had the worst day of their life. They finally got back late that afternoon, and I was there. The van pulled in, and as soon as the van stopped, Pastor Arias gets out. He's throwing up. He threw up for 12 straight hours. And so he's still not right. And this is a week ago. He's still not right today. He said, please pray for me. I just don't feel good. Wait, Pastor Armstrong, he went on a mission trip. He's supposed to give thanks for getting sick? In the spirit and context of what the Apostle Paul was writing here is that there should be a pattern of our life where there's a pattern of rejoicing. There should be a pattern in our life where we are not stopping or quenching the Holy Spirit. There should be a pattern in our life where we're giving thanks for those things that happen as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ being in our life. It is the will of God that we have a spirit of thanksgiving. Now, oftentimes we don't really focus on this except for this week. And that's why we're talking about it tonight, is thanksgiving. Are you thankful for the good things and the not good things? Do you have a spirit of thankfulness that the choir ministered to us today? Do you have a spirit of thankfulness that a growth group teacher taught you? Do you have a spirit of thankfulness that, for whatever, you could fill in the blank? Oftentimes, the first spirit we have is one that's critical or complaining rather than thanksgiving. It's the opposite. This is what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here. So let's understand. There are times, there are things that happen. Like there were dozens of people who were sick as a result of potato salad sitting out in the heat. And you can't do that. You can't put mayonnaise out in heat for 2.5 hours, eat it, and think that nothing's going to happen. You get sick. And so that was testament. By the way, I guess you could figure out I didn't eat potato salad. So I looked at it and I said, this just doesn't look right. And so I tried my best to avoid things that didn't smell right, look right, taste right. So, but here's the thing. Are you thankful? Do you have a spirit of thanksgiving or do you have a critical spirit? Which one would characterize you? Being thankful or being critical? Now, I look around. In every section, I could find somebody that's had something happen to them that's not so good. A loss of a job. A loss of a husband. A loss of a dad. A mom. A loss of a marriage. An injury. And why did I get hurt? Sickness. There's lots of things that have happened here. But is our attitude one where I have a spirit of thanksgiving, I can still rejoice because God's on the throne of my life, or do I have a critical spirit? Understand that this is what the Apostle Paul was teaching here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, is that the attitudes that should reflect the life of a Christian. And not one time does he ever say that having a critical tongue, having a complaining tongue, is something that should be a part of the Christian life. I don't think Paul was saying, I should jump up and down and I should be excited that my dad died. That is not what he's saying. What he is saying is that I should have a ready, evident spirit of thankfulness for the things that are going on in my life. So how about you? Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 1, just back a couple pages in your Bible. Philippians chapter number 1. In just a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to give thanks for your favorite verse and why you're thankful for the verse that you consider a life verse, a favorite verse, a verse that's impacted you. Philippians chapter 1, I claimed this many years ago as my life verse, the verse that I wanted to live by, the verses that's impacted, verse 20 and 21. It simply says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. And that phrase, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, is what I try to live and let it characterize my life. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. These two verses, I would like to be the testimony of Brent Armstrong. I'm so thankful for these verses. I'm thankful that the Apostle Paul, he lived this out. It is possible. The Apostle Paul had many, many more things happen to him that will ever happen to me. And yet he was still able to say, for to me to live is Christ. Oh, man, if I die, that's gain. And I want my life to be such that I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed that he's changed my life. Even if I'm in a mixture of a bunch of heathens and people that are lost, that I can still stand up and say, I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. How about you? Could that characterize you? All right, so what I want to do is I want to do something that's just a little bit different on a Sunday night, and we'll get out of here in good time. I don't want anybody to worry about that. We will finish on time, but I would like for some of you to share with me what would be a favorite verse and why you're thankful for that verse. Jeremy, would you be willing to help me? Didn't he do a great job this morning as the choir was singing? And for all of those who understand sign language, it certainly was very beautiful, as I was told that they did a great job. And so we'll have you handle that microphone. And then, let's see, how about Tolson? Can you come and help me? This is Tolson AGs. He's 25 and he's ready to help out here. All right, so when someone raised their hand, you're going to take that to them, okay? So who would be first to share why you're thankful for a certain verse in the Bible and explain why you're thankful for that verse? All right, Mr. Carr, right there. If you can quote it, that's even better, but all right. All right, who will go second? Here, let's see. Let me get Tolson helping. Who will go? Back here's Pete, right? There's Mr. Pete. You go back there and just stand right there beside Mr. Pete. All right, Tom.
Okay, my favorite verse is 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I consider that pressing towards the mark. Mm-hmm. That's what I look forward to. And no matter what happens, that's where I'm going to end up. So for all of us in that place, we've already won.
Amen. All right. That's good. Brother Pete.
My favorite verse is Philippians 4:13. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
There's absolutely no way I could live the way I'm living without his strength. I couldn't do what I do day in and day out without him guiding me every single step of the way. I used to smoke. I used to drink. He took it away.
Amen.
He gave me a wife that extremely faithful, and now she's sick, but he gives me the strength every single day. I don't be, whatever happens, happens. It doesn't bother me one bit, because I know that he gives me the strength I need.
Amen. Isn't that a remarkable testimony? He does such a marvelous job taking tender care of his wife, and I have never seen him get upset with his wife. No, I've seen her get upset with him, but I've never seen him get upset with his wife. He just tenderly and lovingly takes care of his wife, and day after day after day. Do you think you could get discouraged, and yet God gives him the strength? Who else has a favorite verse, and you'd like to share why that's a favorite verse? Over here, and then right over there, Mr. Troy has a...
This is a verse that I've just really held on to since college, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And no matter what you're going through, God's peace can be part of your life.
Mm. How true. We could go through the loss of my dad and he could still give peace that just is unexplainable. Or Josh and Liz can have little Adlin and going through some difficult times with her health, and yet God can still give Josh and Liz a peace that they don't even understand, that God's in control of that. That's a thank you so much for sharing that verse. Brother Troy? All right, let's see how you hold the microphone and sign.
That'll be a trick. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God's used that verse in a number of years in my life, but more so this year and in recent years than any other time in my life. And the only reason that I have to look back at it and say, I have something and a lot to learn from that. And even until now, and Pastor knows this, that I am fully dependent on him for a decision and a process that we're looking at, and I'm just waiting for the answer. And I've been waiting and waiting, and we just have to wait. And he's used that verse more so than anything right now.
Amen. Amen. Thankful for the word of God. Who else would like to share a verse? Now, all of us should have a favorite verse. Over here on the left hand, guys, we have two people over here, and that's great.
Mine would be Psalm 46:10.
Good
verse.
Be
still and know that I am God. And it says also, I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. And with today and today's society and everything that's going on, I think sometimes we lose track of that, and we need to be reminded. So I thank you very much.
Amen. Henry.
My favorite verse, two verses, are Joshua 1:8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He gives me his word and his Holy Spirit, and that's what I need. He says that his word should not depart from my mouth. So I share the gospel with anybody I can that's willing to listen. He gives me everything I need.
Amen.
And with that, that's my strength.
Amen. A lot of times we quote Joshua 1:8 and we forget about verse 9. But those two verses go together, hand in glove. And so that's wonderful. All right, who else wants to share a verse? Why you're thankful for that verse? Right over here. Right over here. Right over here. There we go. Mrs. Murphy.
Well, my favorite verse was taken already, but I'll take another one, which is Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And the one that Troy had, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, is my next one. Because about 3 years ago, my husband and I had a problem, not really a bad one, but we didn't know what to do. And we seen that verse, and we took it as our own. And how God opened up the pathway, it was just beautiful. And I've never forgot it. But it was my mother that showed us that we should let people see Jesus in us.
Amen.
She was a very precious lady and was saved before any of us, other than you were saved first. I think my sister was saved first. But it was beautiful how she led us and to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And my dad came in too, and we've had a wonderful life.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, who else has a verse you're thankful for? Right behind you, right over there, Mr. Dale Idris. Why are you thankful for God's word? Why are you thankful for a particular verse?
If I may, I'm going to first talk about Joshua 1:8.
Yes.
Years ago, we made a formula out of it. M-O-D equals P-S. Meditate, observe, and do equals prosperity and success.
Amen. That's good.
My favorite verse is Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Yeah. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yes.
The key word there to me is grace.
Yes.
That Christ died for me, that I could not do it on my own, but he did it for me, and now I can live under the grace of God.
Amen. What a great verse to be thankful for. Chuck?
My verse is Romans 5:8. It says, but God commandeth his love toward us, that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. And for me, it's just an amazing thing that God loves us so much that he was willing to send his son to take on our sins. And what Christ endured on the cross, I think it was described in Psalms 22, it's just amazing to me that he was so willing to take on our sins, and for me, a lowly sinner, and to that, I'm ever grateful.
Could we all say that we're ever grateful that we as sinners, that Christ died for us? Who else is thankful for a verse in the Word of God? Jeremy over here, Kabar, and Sarah. So there's two over there. How about someone over here? It'll be in just a moment. Over here on the left, right over here. And Jeremy, if you could get those two, Kabar. Oh, I'm sorry, Christian, I didn't.
No problem. If I can have the congregation say this one with me, it's the last part of the verse.
We can't. I can't quite hear you. Can you put that?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So if much. I can have the congregation say this one with me, it's Hebrews 13:5.
Hebrews 13:5. We can look that
it's
up.
It's the last part of the verse that really touches me the most, and I'll explain it after we say it together.
All right, we can do it together. It says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
And the reason why the last part of that verse hits me so much, because when I was so far away from the Lord, I would still lean on him, I'd still pray to him, I would still lean on this last part of this verse. It just touched me. I never knew where to find it in the Bible at first until a Bible study that I have with Bruce over here. He helped me find this verse. So I don't really know the beginning of it, but I know the last of it, because when I felt so bad, I felt that he wasn't there. This verse always popped in my heart and my mind.
Amen. Amazing how wonderful and amazing the Word of God is. Kubar, you have a favorite verse. Jeremy's coming around there, and he'll give you the microphone.
My favorite verse is Psalms 34, verse 15, and also 84:11. 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon the... his ears are open to their cry. The Lord is always taking care of me. I know I live by myself, and I am really in kind of a little bit of dangerous area in my town. And he's watching over me every night. I'm really grateful for that verse. I know that he has watched me. And then 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will withhold from them that walk uprightly.
Amen.
And the Lord is my shield, and he has really blessed me, and he has never withholden anything that is good for me, and he has kept me from the bad things, and praise God.
Amen. What a great use of the Word of God there. That's wonderful. And then Sarah, right? You'd like to share your favorite verse?
From my days in college, my favorite one, my life verse, has always been Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And he has always supplied not only all my need, but many of my wants, if not most of them. But there's a companion verse to that, which is Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there are times when you may have a need and you don't even know how to express it to God, but Holy Spirit knows.
Amen.
And so that's, that. To me, those just go together.
You know what I'm hearing as a theme is tonight is that there's so many things we'd be thankful for because of how the Lord works in our life, and he continually works in our life. Now, let's see. Yes, right over here.
Mine is Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's a favorite verse for me because if we abide in the Lord regardless of our circumstances, sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we get an answer. Sometimes we claim the promises, but we don't get them right away. But we do have the promise that in spite of our circumstances, if we abide in him, he protects us and keeps us until that time that he gives us an answer.
Amen. That's great. All right, just a couple more, and we'll be finished with this part. Okay, right here, at three in the middle section here. So those will be our last three, and then we'll finish. Brother Lee?
I like Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me,
I shall come forth as gold.
Amen.
I just always loved the idea that God knows where I'm going. He knows where I've been. He knows where I'm going. I may not know. I usually don't know. I don't have a clue usually what's going on in my life, but he's leading me, and he's always been there.
Amen.
And when he's tried me, I know I'm going to have the trials, but I'm looking for the gold.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Just visiting, but I needed to share this one.
Of course. Philippians
1:6, I am confident of this thing that he will... I'd rather read it. I do know it. confidence of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That I had that as a teenager, knowing that God was in control.
Amen.
And then Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. Mm-hmm. And what confidence that is, knowing that he will finish what he started and that his plan is perfect.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. And our U.S. Army graduate.
I would have to say this verse has spoken to me for this past few months. And it's Isaiah 40, verse 31. And it says, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As most of you know, I just graduated this past month, and this verse has really spoken to me. It helped me to carry on, knowing that the Lord still has given me the strength to just continue, even with my injury. It gave me the strength to carry on throughout my training.
Yes.
And yeah, I just wanted to share this verse with you all.
Thank you. And you have about 3 more weeks in your recovery, and so let's continue to pray for Annie as she recovers. All right, let all of us go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to do a responsive reading as we read this. Thank you guys so much for your help tonight. And I thought that would be encouraging because I was certain here's what would happen. The Word of God impacts people's lives. Right? The Word of God makes an impact. And therefore, I can make this great big leap. All of us should be in the Word of God. Every one of us, we should be in the Word of God because it is the Word of God that impacts us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's stand together. We're going to read verse number, in a responsive reading, we're going to read verse number 16 through the end of the chapter. You will read the even verses, I will read the odd verses, and we'll do this as a responsive reading. The verses are actually very short, we should be able to do this, but let's all read together, and let's put some energy and effort and spirit in this. We're reading the very living words of God, so let's do this. The words will be on the screen behind me. You're going to begin reading in verse number 16, so begin. Pray without ceasing.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Then an interesting verse. Quench not the spirit. What's another word for prophesizing? Preaching. So despise not preaching. And then I'm preaching as long as I go here. Okay, all right. The next verse says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, pray for us. Well, before I finish, in Chile, they greet everybody with a kiss, and I'm not so sure how holy all of those kisses are. But the idea is here is that there's an affection for one another. I'm so thankful for you. We often do hugs and handshakes and things like that, but they kiss in Chile, and so I was terrible at it. I did all kinds of, I missed, I did air kisses, It was awful, but we're not going to practice this here right now, okay? So the Bible says, greet all brothers with a holy kiss. And then he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle that you've read into all the holy, that this epistle be read into all the holy brethren, to all the church. I love how it ends. It's all about the grace of God. Let's be faithful in the things that the Apostle Paul has challenged us to do. And in the end, in the final analysis, is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be there with us. And it's that his wonderful, amazing grace that we sang about this morning that sees us through each step and journey of our life.